Are we live?
Yes.
Let me see. Are we sure? I don't see it on my end. Guys, can you hear me? Are we live? We are live. Okay, I see it. Hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of Most Beautiful Latinas. Unfortunately, Bella can't be with us tonight. She's super sick. She's trying to make it. She's been sick for 2 days. She's actually been trying to recover from 2 days of a bad cold, and she's also been throwing up. And anyways, she can't be here today, but we do have a guest. My guest today, Bella. This is Bella now. This is who has replaced Bella for today. We have Ian Smith. We haven't had any guests at all, but we also recorded like 4 or 5 times, I think, so far this year. So you will be our first guest.
Let's do it.
And if you guys saw me, for those of you who watched my story on Wake Up with Linda, I was on the Saucecast earlier, Valuetainment. I haven't been there since last year when I ended Donovan Sharp's career. If you remember that, that was a great day. That was a great episode. That was one of my best moments on the internet. It got me death threats. It got me insults. It was just crazy. And I haven't been to Valuetainment since. And it was really good today because it was more political. Because I was like, look, guys, I get it. Like, it's fun to shit on hoes and also on these Red Pill bros. It's fun. I get it. But, like, this is so retarded for me, especially. Like, I'm an intellectual. So I can't be doing stuff like that. So then finally, they've switched their format. And they're, like, doing more, like, good debates, conversations. Like, we're talking to liberals. We're, you know, debunking people. Like, these things matter for the election. So I was like, okay, I'll go back to Valuetainment. And, like, now I get to dunk on liberals, which is even better than dunking on hoes or Red Pill bros. And so today we focus on that.
But you still got to dunk.
I still did it. So I still did. Guys. This is very, very important. While I was on the show, if you watch my stories today, you know that I am the number one Red Pill disrespecter. That's what I put on my bio on Twitter. And, you know, I just, I put that on my bio. I put number one Red Pill disrespecter because I knew it would trigger the incels. This is important. Also, hold on. Guys, 1 second. I'm going to post this link. And where is that coming from? Is that yours? I can, hold on. Hold on a second. Let me put join the live. I forgot to put this on inside. Put it on my, what is it called? My feed, but not on my story. So I went back to Saucecast today, and we had a state representative, Representative Basabe, which, by the way, this is really important. This is why, and I'm going to ask you about this, right? I'll let Ian talk now, sorry. We had a state representative. His name is Fabian Basabe, and he is the first person to flip the district here in Miami Beach from blue to red. Yeah. But very important, which, you know, a lot of conservatives don't want to hear this. His district is very moderate. Okay. It's really moderate and it has a lot of money. It's like Bar Harbor, Fisher Islands, like it's, you know, North Miami. And he's like, I ran on crime. I ran on guns. I ran on, what was the other thing? He's like being moderate and on abortion. Like he didn't run as a, you know, anti-abortion, pro-life. He ran on that. And also, like, he ran as a moderate, and he was able to flip the district. And there is a lot of conversation now online that we have to take extremist positions for politics. And whereas we can do that, like, religiously, right? Like, if you're religion, you know, religiously or personally or whatever, it's going to be very hard to win an election just trying to impose things on, like, everywhere in the country. Because every county and district may have different views on social issues than you do, right?
Yeah.
So we had him there. That guy flipped a seat, but by being a moderate, okay, which I know people don't like that. And we had one liberal only who was super, I mean, she was very nice. She was actually very, like, how do you say it? Like, not just nice, but she was respectful, you know?
Not crazy.
But she brought up the insurrection. And I was like, it wasn't an insurrection. It was a riot. You know, like, Trump supporters have so many guns. Da, 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 da. I'm like, if we really wanted to have an insurrection, they would have been an insurrection.
It was a sing-along.
It was.
There was a shaman
praying on the Capitol Hill floor. Anyways, and we had Toria. You know Toria?
Mm-hmm.
We had her. And then Natalia. Yeah, that was us. But yeah, it was good. I think those conversations moving forward with the election are gonna be better than just like
I like to see a state representative kind of on less of a political podcast. Like there's still mm-hmm. some political stuff, but there's some cultural stuff too. I think that's really important. Politicians these days are so unrelatable,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very good tactic for him to use, along with the moderate stance. I know, like you said, the GOP doesn't want to hear it, and the holier than thou Christian conservatives don't want to hear that stuff, but they wind up getting very upset when they lose elections.
Oh yeah.
And then they scream voter fraud, voter fraud, voter fraud, which is sure, that's true.
But if you guys remember, you ran for office, so you can tell them
and tell them
the amount. Remember the percentage?
I ran for office. I lost in the primary. I think I scooped up 39% of the vote in a three-way. I was not the GOP favorite at all. And the most unpopular things that I would say was that I was anti-war, for one, or that I was anti-war as America has done it for the last 50 years, getting into every war without calling it a war.
Right.
But the second most unpopular thing that I would say, because, the war was unpopular because at this time we were doing the Ukrainian national anthem at GOP events. That's how bonkers we were at the time. But the second most unpopular thing I would say was that people would ask my stance on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And my stance was, and I said it very clearly, I do not like abortion. I do not support it, but I do not think it should be a legislated issue.
Mm-hmm.
And people would gasp every single time. And I would turn tons of people away with it. And before I even got the opportunity to explain it and to the people that would stick around and listen, what the GOP doesn't understand is that they're not going to, we've lost so much ground that the crazier and more extreme that you are to everybody else, including the independents in the middle, the less likely you are to get anywhere with these people. You can feel that way. And you can maybe one day legislate that way, but if you start running campaigns on that right now, you're never going to get anywhere. That's just the way it is. You have to appeal to the moderate voter because most people are actually in the middle. So even if you want to win over people on the left, you do have to have a sensible approach, even if that's not what you truly want in the end. And there's way too many people in the GOP right now who don't see the forest through the trees when it comes to that. So it's good to see a state rep, especially here in Florida. But his work speaks for itself, obviously.
Yeah. Well, that's something actually that we discussed today. We discussed the subject of abortion and the first person. So Adam was saying that they had the Valuetainment was sponsoring the Miami Beach volleyball tournament this past weekend. So I guess they started asking girls like, oh, who you're voting for? And like, what's the most important thing this election? And like all the girls were talking about, which is dumb. We know it's brainwashing, but there's nothing we can do about it right now. Just like screaming at the abyss and wanting to revoke women's rights. Like none of these things are actually going to come to fruition. So in this election cycle, so we know that they've been brainwashed to believe that abortion is a what is it called? Healthcare.
A human right.
Right. And also healthcare, like women's rights.
They call it. Yeah.
And so they call it. So we know that. But a lot of the girls were saying that. So when this conversation came up today, I told the first girl, Pixie, she was saying, first Republicans said that they wanted to leave it up to the states with Roe v. Wade. And that happened. And now they're saying it's not going to stop there. It's going to, it's going to, do this or whatever. So, so they're like, oh, we're just, so I'm like, I have to agree with her. And not because I agree on abortion, but that's exactly what happened. Trump ran in a promise, which was to overturn Roe v. Wade. That happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trump overturned Roe v. Wade. Well, not Trump, the Supreme Court, but because
of Trump
whether pick. Luck or not, whatever you want to call
pick.
It, on Trump's watch, right? And he appoints his people. They overturn Roe v. Wade. And we have one of the biggest culture wins that I think in the last like 50 plus years, right? Yeah. Completely yeah, sure. Living it up to the states. And then states then say, we're going to start having an abortion, you know, the heartbeat bill or 15 weeks or 12 weeks.
Which I agree with that decision entirely.
Correct. So exactly. Because the Supreme Court was just basically saying that, yes, legally, this belongs to the state. It's not a federal thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fight it out in the state. Fight it out locally. Fight it out in the culture of your state. What Republicans aren't getting is that they're not going to undo this brainwashing
anytime soon
by legislating it.
Right.
I understand, and I fully agree. I fully agree. Abortion's a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. And I have so much I really feel for the girls who think that it's something empowering, because it's not.
It's not empowering.
It's not something that we should do as a culture 100%. But the only thing that you're going to do to these young women who are so far brainwashed to believe that they have some sort of inherent right to do that, the only thing that you're going to do to them by legislating them unable to do it is piss them off and energize them. If you really want a win on this, it does have to be a cultural win. If you care so much about abortion and you don't want it to happen, you have to get in on the cultural level, and you have to make these people understand that life is precious. Because just and you can win like that. If you go into urban neighborhoods and you start educating young women, especially women of color who have the highest rates of abortion, that life is precious and that it's not some burden and it's not the worst thing to ever happen to them, and that it probably will change their life for the better becoming a mother, and that motherhood is a good thing. All of these things, you start educating that at the cultural level, you'll win on abortion. You'll win on abortion by default, because people will realize that it's a huge scam, but we're not at the point where you're going to legislate it and then win. I mean, look at what happened with Roe v. Wade. It's a great win, but it energized the left.
But they don't want to admit that. Republicans don't want to admit that. They say that, you know, by us saying that, it's kind of like compromising.
It's not a compromise.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to some of our super chats. And also, guys, please don't forget to subscribe to the channel, like and share this video. Adam Silva, who always supports us. Thank you, Adam, so much. I gave the first jacket you sent me from the Melania Trump one. I gave that one because it's smaller to Bella. So she says thank you also. Adam says, evening, ladies. I'm sure Linda killed it on Saskas today. I'll catch you later. Ian, thank you for your unwavering stance and support of our personal freedom. Thank you,
Adam. Rock on, Adam. Thank you.
Adam's the best. Raina, I ended up getting the promotion and will be moving. Oh, congrats. That's awesome. I remember that. That's great. Awesome. And then Erica Torres, thank you so much. So these people refuse to accept, going back to the abortion stuff, because that came up today. And what I said was, you know, strategically, like, Trump knows that going any further, like a total abortion ban or a 6-week ban, it's very unpopular. And it happened here in Florida, like after DeSantis got reelected, he then signed behind closed doors at night a 6-week abortion ban, which he did not run on. And, you know, most people are like, I don't care. I'm not going to be upset about it. Like, it is what it is. Like, the more you can restrict, I think that's great. But there was a lot of voters that were disappointed. And I'm not saying they're not going to vote Republican, right? But now imagine this at like the national level,
yeah.
Right? It's not Florida. It's not just DeSantis. People may have, people may or may not want to support a president that has a total ban on abortion. So, you know, yesterday, I don't know if you saw, but like the Tim Cast came after me. I'm pretty sure I'll never be invited again. I got invited, but we never made it because I was super sick. So I don't think I'll ever be invited on Tim Cast anymore. Fuck them.
They've never invited me back after the second time.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, I think we just have differing views on things.
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, what happened was this girl, Cassandra, the one that books people, she had a tweet that was like about abortion, saying that like, oh, the people that live in big cities that say that women won't vote over abortion rights are like so out of touch. Mind you, these people don't live in cities. They live in the middle of West Virginia, in the middle of
nice house,
literally nowhere. And that's okay. But You are the one that doesn't live in city. You're the one that doesn't know anything. We live in cities. It's very different of what you hear. So I responded back. I was like, it was all very cordial, very nice. Like, it was kind of like debate. But they get so emotional about it that she like came after me. Because I was like, this is such a, I'm like, at first I was like, she's like, oh, what's the point of winning if we're not going to like, what's the point of winning if we're going to concede on abortion? And I was like,
when has the GOP won? Like, these people are talking about what's the point of winning. Like, but we haven't even won at all.
Right.
We've taken nothing but losses since 2016. I mean, we're coming up on 8 years of losses. So right. What are you talking about? What's the point of winning? How about we focus on winning first? Like, again, the GOP has been pushed back so far that
I would say politically, that there has been wins, though. Like, in terms of like the education, like what we're like, you know, being able to go after school boards, like they've had some cultural and political wins.
Yes.
I don't think it's all else.
I mean, if the GOP didn't win, I mean, we'd still be wearing masks with COVID. So yes.
Yeah.
There's been some politically we've been steamrolled overall. Politically, we've been steamrolled by, I would say politically and culturally, we've taken more losses than wins overall.
Okay. So I think that's debatable because, for example, today at Saucecast, like, it's kind of becoming cringe to be a liberal, which is a big deal.
Like, yes, but like, we're on year eight. I'm not talking about right. like now. I'm talking yeah, about but, like but, from but, 2020 or from 2016 to 2022.
Yeah.
We've sustained pretty heavy losses.
Yeah. Yeah. You know why I think too? Because nobody was aware of a lot of, like, I think a lot of people have had, there's been like waves of awakening. I feel like 2016, then it was like a 2020, then it, because of COVID, like,
mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
there's been mm-hmm. like a wave of the masses awakening to, everything is not
you're
just
getting
politics.
One you're getting one now the because Hollywood things are so stuff. Things are so right. bad now that people are finally starting to yeah. look around when people are paying, you know, $100 for every single trip to the grocery store or $100 right. every time they go out
gas
to eat, even the most
$3.
Politically or excuse me, apolitical person is starting to go, yeah, well, these liberal policies aren't working because they are all around. Everybody in the cities is suffering. So yeah, we are starting to see some wins. Absolutely. And I think we got off track with that, but they get what so, the girl from the Tim cast who got so emotionally upset and saying, isn't it better to have a win?
And then she was basically trying to imply that I was like pro murder and a feminist. And I ended up just trying her back and being like, I bet you I've done more. I bet you I've done more for the pro-life movement than you have. I'm like, the Antifa Miami that got federal charges, the first in the entire country, came down because of us. Because I looked at the tapes from the pro-life clinic because I know the owners and I recognize them. And the FBI got to them. So we were the first people in the entire country, Miami, actually, to put Antifa in jail for federal charges after they vandalized the pro-life clinic. And, you know, I have a really good relationship. So my followers here who I'm sure are watching, actually, they've donated stuff, you know, they started donating diapers, clothes. I did a fundraiser for a clinic here. So I do pro-life, what is it called, campaigns all the time. And I told her that. I said, I bet you I've done more for the pro-life movement than you have. But you guys just like to like talk a lot. You don't walk. What is it?
You don't talk the talk. You talk the talk. You don't walk the walk.
Exactly. Like,
well, all I these people equate followers and like, you know? Views and likes and reshares. And not that, you know, I'm on a podcast right now. We're on your podcast. But. Like, people are like, oh, well, I have a podcast. Well, it's like, yeah, and you spread awareness, and that's a great thing. But a lot of these people, I think, overvalue their how much they've actually done with these things. Because as much as having a show and talking about this stuff, where the rubber meets the road is stuff like that, showing up at school board meetings. I mean, you've had people screaming about school board meetings for 2 years now. But the people that are really making a difference tend to do it quietly. Mm-hmm. With stuff like that, where you know, I didn't know that Antifa was put in jail. I know that you and Bella have been battling them for years. Mm-hmm. But that's the stuff that really does matter.
Yeah, they totally hate us. That's why they're still upset at us. Yeah. Because you think Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were very serious about making a national example out of Antifa Miami. And I think it's important to be really cutthroat and, you know your enemies, know what's up,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Not a lot of people do that. Not a lot of people want to do that because they're scared. Everyone's scared all the time. And then we have to hear how women shouldn't vote. Women shouldn't do this. Well, you know, well, you can literally go fuck yourself because no man put Antifa in jail first, bitch. It was us. I wish I had more power. You know, I have to watch. I have to watch Game of Thrones. I have to watch Game of Thrones every night. This is something that my inner circle like knows and they make fun of me because of it. Just so I can satisfy my need for how, I can't say this live, the actions that I would take if I had unwavered power or unmanned, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good show. It gives me, I should be going to sleep with like meditation fantasies. Music, like great music. And instead I'm like, I'm going to watch episode like Game 7. Yeah, like Game of Thrones. You know, it just is what it is. Somebody got here late and where's Bella? Bella is actually super sick. She's been sick for like 2 days and then she tried to get better. And then she's like, I'm not going to be able to make it. Like she's been throwing up. She has a fever. She's been coughing. I don't know what she has. But she's not doing too well. She'll be okay though. I'm sure she's not going to die, but she's pretty sick. But we have Ian instead, you know, so Bella somebody food. Said Bella didn't shave like, what yeah. the-
Bella for, was the, like, Bella for the night.
Yeah. Okay. So I was going to ask you, you know, I feel like we can talk about this, but I feel like you've obviously had controversial takes lately, you know, especially about the Israel situation and all this stuff. And, you know, you've clashed with some influencers as well. And we had the Candace Owens situation. So I want to get your take on first the Candace Owens situation, which we haven't talked about because we weren't here last week, actually. So we should talk about a little bit about the Candace Owens situation and, you know, your opinion on the, not as like the Israel-Palestine situation. I don't know how much we can say on YouTube on this topic because you know how they had like a Ukraine thing? I don't know if they made one for YouTube. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I haven't talked about the word. I don't really pay attention. We'll find out. And yeah, so let's start with that first. So what do you make of this whole Candace Owens? So Candace Owens was fired by the Daily Wire. You guys know that. I think it was a long time coming. I think that they've been thinking about it. This is my thing, right? So yeah. Kanye West and Candace Owens have a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I want to point out, I actually only followed Candace Owens because I was following Kanye. And Kanye said, I like the way Candace Owens thinks. And so we're Kanye fans, you know, we're Kanye fans, we do what Kanye says. So I start following Candace Owens because Kanye said so. And so actually that's how I found out. I didn't really start following Candace Owens because of conservative politics or Turning Point USA or Charlie Kirk or not. It was actually Kanye. And they have a relationship. You guys know what happened with Kanye and his anti-Semitic rant and, mm-hmm. and fight with the Jews. And so then they're trying to make
reading the comments here.
Oh, you're reading comments? Yeah. Oh, I thought something went wrong. Oh, sorry. It's been a long day, guys. It's been a long day.
You know, with the whole Candace Owens thing, yeah. I think is it's what you've seen at a smaller level, you know, with a lot of conservative quote unquote influencers, whatever. She has asked nothing, but the one thing I like about Candace is she's not sloppy in anything that she does. She doesn't, I've rarely seen her get very like overly emotional to where like somebody can pull her out of frame. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good strength that she has. There hasn't been a whole, I mean, I've disagreed with her on some things, but I do respect the fact that she asks good questions no matter what the topic is. Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to the conflict over in the Middle East, I think she asks some really good questions. And I think they're questions that 6 months, 7 months into this, I think that mm-hmm. everybody should be asking. you know, and I saw this, there was a lot of them, but I saw this one interview that she was doing with this rabbi, and, you know, they were going back and forth, and it wasn't really getting anywhere. And she just said, you know, which is a question that I asked as well, is like, basically like, you know, you guys keep justifying all of these, civilian deaths and, you know, it's always, there's always a reason for it. You know,
if you don't want civilian deaths, if you want to cease fire,
if you question,
you are an anti-Semite.
It's blood libel. So, it's blood libel. You know, it's
actually a thing.
It's, but the question that she asked is a fair one. It's like, but do you feel bad? Like, because it's like, hey, there's civilians dying. Well, here's the reason. Well, you bombed a hospital. Well, here's the reason. Well, you killed journalists. Well, here's the reason. And all she asked was, there's kids that are dying.
No, it doesn't matter even if it's kids. Like,
do you feel bad? The guy, his response, don't quote me, but it was something along the lines of, my heart breaks that Hamas makes us do this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like,
that was crazy. That was a crazy one.
Oh, my God, man.
That was a crazy one.
You can't just say yes. Yeah. That's really scary. Mm-hmm. And she pulled him out of his frame. And, you know, for questions like that, which I think are fair questions, she was obviously let go. So what does that say about conservative media, right? Because the Daily Wire is seen as this staple of conservative media, along with like PragerU and all these other, you know, similarly owned and leaning outlets that are staples of conservative media, when we can't ask fair questions. Because it was so funny that just a couple of years ago, conservative media was painting themselves as the ones who asked the hard questions when it came to the COVID narrative, when it came to BLM, when it came to all of these other things. And now all of a sudden, you know, there's certain questions that can't be asked. And that's a big change of stance for conservative media over the last couple of years, because conservative media was the bold media. That was the media that would ask the questions, that would say things like ivermectin helps cure COVID. And they were like, oh my God, like crazy stance. And now you're like, children being killed is a bad thing. And they're like, anti-Semite.
Yeah.
And it's, conservative media has very quickly pulled the mask off and has shown itself to be no different than the liberal media. And now you've got people like Candace Owens, who just asked a fair question, who are being canceled because of it. And, you know, it should make every single person who considers themselves a conservative or right leaning or somebody,
an American.
Yeah, just general, an American. Right? When you have media that is canceling people for this woman did not say anything crazy.
I want to point something out. So I feel like you came into like the conservative scene like 2020, right? Was that the mark?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't really paying attention to politics. Right. I was kind of just enjoying the feel good nationalism of Trump, you know,
a lot of us were that way.
Yeah. I was just a business owner who was just kind of like chilling, making money. And I was happy. And I was pro Trump and I was happy with where we were going, but I was not commenting on much politically.
So I started commenting on politics like a little bit before that, like 2018. And I was mostly posting memes. Like, it was also fun. Like, it wasn't anything how it turned out, like post 2020, and then beyond that. But since then, I've known that the Israel stuff with what happened is just forbidden in conservative media. And they'll even say that, saying this is like, how dare you say that? Like, that's not true. It is true.
But if you say that, you'll literally prove their point.
And the thing about it is that I honestly knew since then because of what happened to Nick Fuentes, right? And like, I don't necessarily like Fuentes or care, or like, you know, there's some stuff that I think it's hilarious, like some of his clips.
He could be very funny.
It's very, very funny. But, you know, I was just observing what was going on. And whatever it is now, because I know people, it's very controversial. And Nick Fuentes is a pedo. He's this, that. Back then, pay attention, 2018, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know his views. I don't know anything about him, really. But the name is online on Twitter. And I remember that he was canceled back then for asking questions about Israel, foreign aid, more than anything. Not conspiracy theories, not the Jews are behind none of that.
It sets off huge alarm.
I don't know what happened after, before that. Like, I just remember that. And that got him canceled And it's happened to a lot of other people. They just don't know. Like, people don't know about it. It's happened to a lot of other people. So, you know, I think that it's more exposed now that that's a very sensitive subject within conservative media. And then you have to, like, the way that Ben Shapiro described it was like, we have an Overton window, you know? But he didn't say what it was.
Yeah.
But clearly, it was kind of like what was leading up with Candace Owens, because Candace refused to... Candace refused to, you know, bend the knee when Dennis Prager, you forget about this, we reported on this, Dennis Prager and Ben Shapiro basically had a conversation with Candace about Kanye West, where they were low-key asking her, like, you need to denounce Kanye West. Like, this is not because Candace didn't say anything, not because she supported his statements or anything at all. Simply because they knew that she was affiliated to Kanye West.
It was a strategic move for them.
And we're expecting her to be like, I denounce Kanye for being an anti-Semite. And she refused to do that. She had an episode where she was saying Dennis Prager kind of like called her about it. And she's like, I'm just tired of apologizing. Yep. I feel like that's been the trajectory of her.
Definitely started to change. 100%.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, well, I think, you know, people like Candace, especially, like, there's a certain level that you get to in this game, whatever it is, where, you know, you have your own thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. So Candace, I remember Candace when she had a YouTube channel called the Red Pilled Coon.
The Repro. I remember it
was. It was a something
it
was, coon.
Yeah, it was it. Was it the coon?
Yeah, and it was, and it was just a black woman observing some of the hypocrisies of society. Like, I remember she had this one video where she talked about, you know, like they tell black people that they're experiencing racism all the time. And she's like, I don't.
And Red Pill Black. That's what it is. Red Pill Black. That's the name. Yeah, that was the name. Thank you, guys.
And she basically went through her own day and was like, yeah, I wake up, I go downstairs and I talk to a Latino and like, they say hi.
Yeah, remember
and that. I go to the gym and a white guy hands me a towel and he asks me how my day
out,
is.
She came out to her parents. She had a skit. It was so funny.
And it was just very sensible. And it was funny because it was, you know, she's got a good delivery, you know, and then she skyrocketed sort of in popularity. And then all of a sudden you get these deals from, you know, these big companies.
Trigger you.
Yeah. You know, like
Turning
Point
USA.
It's very different being on your own platform.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden somebody's paying you a lot of money and hosting a show for you and all these things. So I think, you know, obviously anybody's going to say, yeah, sure, I'll do that. You want me to go work for some big major news company? I'll have my own show. Sure. Then a little bit of time passes. And I think, you know, if I'm assuming correctly, I think you start to learn a little bit about who your employer is. You know, yeah. And when you sign on, you don't know that you're going to be censored. She doesn't know that she's going to have to, you know, she thinks that she's going to have her own show and she's going to speak her mind however she pleases. You get into it and you realize, okay, there's some parameters here. You know, there's some parameters.
Things I can and cannot do.
Things I can and cannot do. And eventually, and I think with Candace, she hit a point where she's like, hey, I'm not okay with this. And that's where you saw that trajectory start to change. When you get called from, you know, the owners of your company or whatever, and they say, hey, I know you're friends with this guy and I know you agree with him on everything.
Yeah.
But we're going to need you to compromise your values for this paycheck and denounce him. And some people will do it. Hell, a lot of people will do it. But I respect the fact that she didn't.
Yeah.
And that was definitely the change. And you saw her tone start to change. Yeah. She started to get more bold, which is funny to say because she hasn't said anything outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, in being bold, she's just moved closer to the truth.
Now today there was like this guy, I think he's Jewish. His name is, I forgot right now, whatever. He's a conservative commentator. And he was like, I despise Candace Owens. So like just going on this very nasty rant. And she retweeted him and she was like, you despise me? Like, I'm an adult. Like, why do you take so much energy against me? Like, it's just so bizarre. Like, there's a lot of things I don't like about Candace, but to despise her or like at the end of the day, she speaks a lot of truth. Yeah. And I think that it's insane. I mean, I have to say this, okay? I didn't grow up here my first like years, right? Like, so like I have a lot and then I moved to Miami And I feel like this American education, where they have engraved in their brains the Judeo-Christian values and stuff, it's something that I did not know about until I started to dive into conservative politics. Mm-hmm. This was a foreign concept to me. This type of idolizing Israel and Jews are God's chosen. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying my experience it's not even questions. That's culturally. Mm-hmm. I didn't share the culture of religion of a lot of the people in the Republican Party. Yeah. So that type of obsession for piece of land is extremely weird to me.
Yeah.
First of all, no offense to anybody. I'm not trying to, be disrespectful to anyone's fucking country. It's just the way that it's insane. It's crazy. And then they make you into a bad person for questioning war or questioning mm-hmm. foreign aid. So I think that there's a lot of people that are waking up to this situation. Yeah. I want to share an article with you. Hold on. So that we can discuss this really quick. This just happened the other day. Can you guys see this?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So World Central Kitchen boss Jose Andres accuses Israel of direct attack on Gaza. So basically, did you hear about this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you know about it.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know about it, basically, a World Central Kitchen is a nonprofit organization that was taking meals to Gaza, owned by this chef, Jose Andres. And Jose Andres, I have a restaurant, one or two restaurants here in Miami. It's he's a pretty famous chef. I think he's a liberal, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's a liberal. Not sure. But the point is that the seven people from his organization were driving in a car and they were literally killed by the Israeli government.
Yeah.
And these are civilians. They weren't Hamas or weren't, They're not Hamas, period. They're not the enemies. They're just civilians that were killed in a drone strike. And he says that it was a direct attack. Obviously, he's upset. Obviously,
as he should be.
As he should be. Yeah. But Ben Shapiro goes on Twitter to Love say, Bible. You saw that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, yeah. Okay, what do you think about that?
I mean, it just goes back to this whole, everybody has to be held to the same standard of conduct, no matter who you are, no matter what your background mm-hmm. is. You know, it's so funny because conservatives, Ben Shapiro, will rake black people over the coals talking about their standards and how they're not held to the same standard as white culture and all these things. But Jewish culture, no. You cannot criticize them. You can criticize. Right. Ben Shapiro will go on rants
statistics
all the time
about crime.
He'll talk about statistics. He'll talk about all these things about how black people need to do this. Black people need to do that. The criticism's firing off, and a lot of them are legitimate. I'm not saying that they're not. Some of them are very, very legitimate criticisms of that culture. He loses his mind if you do the same thing about Jewish culture, and it's this, and it's the same thing. You know, he tells black people that they can't be victims, but he screams victimhood on everything. And it's, you have to hold everybody to the same standard. Mm-hmm. What happened to your people in the past, right, wrong, doesn't matter. Slavery, Holocaust, whatever, does not matter. What matters is the actions that you take today. And for some reason, Ben Shapiro and the bulk of the conservative media will not apply that same standard to Israel, even in the face of stuff like this. You know, this is not the first time.
No, it's not at all.
They have a long-standing history of widespread destruction, and it's always but you can't criticize because blood libel. You can't criticize because Holocaust. You can't criticize mm-hmm. because God's chosen people. And, look at this destruction.
Yeah.
And I think people are really starting.
This is so insane.
When you see pictures like that, you can't.
I mean, it's. I just, when I read blood libel, I nearly lost it. I had to log off on Twitter. I didn't even want to comment. I was just I just have to lose it. And I'm so tired of people saying if you don't stand, I've seen commentary on Twitter, if you don't stand with Israel, you don't stand with America. If Israel falls, the United States falls. some bizarre commentary.
I love that stuff.
Bizarre commentary, which, you know what? Like, you can have a very strong opinion on either side. Because
sure.
I'm not.
Sure. Yeah.
This is my thing.
You can feel
this
very passionate about it.
As an American, I've never wake up ever. Ever. I never wake up and think to myself, how are the Palestinians doing? How are the Israelis doing? How are the Uyghurs? You know how there's like, they say like the Uyghurs in China are being trafficked. Yeah. I'm sorry. And neither do you.
The open slave markets in North Africa.
Neither do you. You're a fucking liar. If you sit here and tell me that you wake up in the morning, and the first thing you think about are the Uyghurs or Palestinians or the guys.
Or who was getting sick during COVID.
Or the Civil War in
Sierra George
Leon.
Floyd or any of that. It's all the same thing.
You don't. So, you know. When it comes to trying to emotionally manipulate people, I just have to like disengage because I'm so bad at that. I'm like, I'm not going to deal with you guys. You guys are insane. And I feel like both sides are like that because equally I've gotten shit from Palestinians, pro-Palestinians that are like, oh, like you want to see kids dying and, you know, this and that. But, you know, it's just... We have to be able as Americans to criticize and say whatever we want and not be labeled as racist or as anti-Semites. That's just, it's insane.
Well, if it's a bad idea, then prove it wrong. You know, that's the premise of free speech is that the good stuff rises to the top,
right?
Because ideas have merit. And if you have good ideas, then you should be able to discuss them in a manner in which people go, you're right. That's the whole idea. And the right for all of the good that the collective right has done over the last couple of years, they very, very many of them very, very quickly have behaved just like the left that they criticize so often. I mean,
they're like the woke right now. That's what we call it now.
That's exactly what it is.
It's the woke right.
I mean, it's funny the criticisms that I get. I mean, I lose followers on a daily basis over just asking simple questions about Middle Eastern policy. You know, it's you hate Jews. It's all of these things. And these
were all emotional manipulation.
Yeah, like, you know,
all of it.
It's emotional manipulation, but it's the same exact tactics that these people have cried about for years. The right has cried about being called racist for years. And all of a sudden in 2020, at the end of 2023, they started calling everybody an anti-Semite. And it's hilarious because I don't even know if a lot of these people notice.
Well, some people do. Real
no pun
quick,
intended.
I just want very smart. I want to give a couple of shout outs to some super chats that we have. KS says, in my college, I saw two guys sign against abortion. The reasons of why women choose abortion, I think, has to be looked at. I feel like a lot of the reasons, like they have made having a child kind of like a inconvenience.
Yeah.
And the reality is that for the first, like being a mother, it's very hard and difficult. He just became a father a year ago?
Yep. A year ago, a couple of days.
Okay. So a year ago, a couple of days.
It's probably one of the most challenging things that anybody will ever do. And it's especially during pregnancy and the first year, 2 years, 3 years. I mean, it's almost 100% work on the woman.
Exactly.
There's very little that a man does. So yes, it's very hard, but they've made it a punishment.
Right.
And
it's like an inconvenience when in reality it's like, you know, like I was talking to my friends, like you just have a little kid right here. Like it's just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It just, they've made it so it's so inconvenient. And so I think that, you know, women are like, okay, my life is going to stop. And in a way, yeah, you can't be selfish anymore. You can't just like sleep until 10 a.m. because, you know, you need to feed a baby. But at the end of the day, it's a rewarding thing, and it's just, it is what it is. So I think that's one of the reasons, because then they're like, okay, then it's going to interfere with school or work or this or that or whatever it may be that you have going on, when in reality is that a lot of women, even though it's even more difficult, thrive. You know, they if sometimes they're like, fuck school. Why do I even need school?
Like, most women who dive into motherhood, like really dive into it and embrace it, I think end up happier in the long run.
Yeah.
But again, that goes back to what I said earlier. Like, mm-hmm. if if we want that to happen less in terms of abortion, we do need to understand that the fears that women have, mm-hmm. although they may not be correct,
they're valid.
They're valid,
and
because
you can like debate them and like debunk them.
And you, right? Yeah, you can absolutely debate debunk them and debunk them, yeah. And you can change the culture, and you can mm-hmm. change the end result where there, you will have less demand for yeah. abortion by shedding light on the reality, mm-hmm. just like we just talked about right now, but on a national level throughout cultures, you know, everywhere in this country.
There's a girl on TikTok. I wish I would have downloaded the video, but it will take too mm-hmm. long. There's a girl on TikTok, and she has, you know, she's not a big influencer or anything, but you know, TikTok, things go viral
quickly,
like
yeah.
quickly. Mm-hmm. So her counter is just her sharing like motherhood, not as, and then, so she's like, she's only 22, I think, or 23, like between 23 and 24, very young. And she's like, all her videos are like, okay, if you're scared to have a baby, just watch this video. So it's her super cute young, you know, mom, and the little girl's super adorable, like both blonde, blue-eyed, you know. And she's like, it's like having my own best friend. Like, look, we woke up, we took a nap, like we ate, we went to get my nails done. She behaved. I did, like, she's basically like trying to make it so that like any girl that gets scared, she's like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, we took another nap and now we're watching TV and like, yeah. we're not really like, we're just having a
we
good
didn't,
time.
We
and
didn't then, get to clean the house today.
You know, I gave just her, right. I gave
literally
her a bath.
The same thing that would happen anyway. Like
you don't... I gave her a bath and then I put her to sleep. So then, you know, she's just like trying to, you know,
I think that's awesome.
Calm the fear is super cool, super nice girl. Speaking of pregnancy, this is a good comment.
Wow. I'm reading it.
Yes! Let's go! I knew you guys wouldn't disappoint. Don Juan, let's go. He says, want to give a shout out to two newly dad be fresh. We want to give a shout out to Walter. And maybe he should have followed Trollo's advice. Vasecto, laugh out loud. And then there's four on the way, shaking my head. Shapiro sucks. Okay, let me expand on this comment. This is so great. So you guys know that I am a Red Pill disrespecter, and we have our boys from Fresh and Fit. Number one men podcast in the world, where they get to tell these
really?
Prostitutes men's pod. That's what Myron says. I don't think it is, but whatever. They are huge, like, no disrespect. They work really hard, and that's great. I wouldn't shit on people's work. That's one thing I wouldn't. Because I do this for a hobby once a week, and they have, like, a legitimate business, so I won't hate on that. But, you know, their content, the way they speak about women, the what they say about women, it's just not great. So, Walter, which is Fresh and Fit, basically his girlfriend, very short-term girl, he got this girl pregnant, total Instagram model. She has her titties out. She's got her ass out. She's got bikini pictures. She's got the ass shot at the gym. She's got
all
the lingerie. She's got all of it. She's got
all the red flags.
She's hot. You know, she's got a banging body. She's Asian. Hot, you know? Looks like a gold digger for sure. Showing off her mess, her this, her that, all the, you know, all the fine things, whatever that chicks do. And so he gets this girl pregnant, and she basically records all the stuff, the text messages, the voice notes, the everything, and puts it out there and says, I tell this guy I'm pregnant. This is what happened. And this guy is now saying that I need to have an abortion because mm-hmm. I don't want to have a kid. Now, I want to remind people that this podcast not only tells the sex workers that go there, you know, whatever, they put them in their place, you're hoes, you're alone, you're not really a 10, you're really a 5, you know, all the things that men like to hear. But they also go into traditionalism mm-hmm. and women have, you know, are more loose because they take birth control, have abortions, and they're all whores and they're sleeping around and, you know, this and that. And women don't take accountability. And here comes the man, you know, that preaches this.
That to be a high value man, you need to be disciplined and you need to be accountable for your actions and all of these things so that you can cast judgment upon all of the whores that come on your show.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like I always say, like the type of women that he got pregnant is everything that they say is a red flag, according to them. I don't know this girl. This girl could be the best, sweetest, kindest.
On sight, yes. On sight, visually,
Visually, yeah. You know, the they say that she has, you know, bikini pictures and this and showing her body and doing this and doing that. And, you know, he goes and gets his chick pregnant. Like, you know, both parties know what they're doing, mm-hmm. right? Because the woman can just go and take, I mean, I don't encourage this at all, but she could take a plan B if she knows that a guy had a mistake, right? Like a mistake.
Yeah. Or you could just not make the mistake.
Or you could just literally yeah. not
just
do it.
Just pull it out.
Exactly. You know? Yes. Very simple.
Took me 36 years to have my first kid. But, you know, that,
I mean, come on, you know?
It wasn't because I was missing shots.
Yeah. And he's saying, you know, he doesn't want to take accountability for it. And I just think it's funny. I just think it's hilarious how that's happening.
Well, it kind of sounded, I listened to the audio and I don't know this dude. But first of all, I mean, he definitely outkicked his coverage in terms of physical appearance, you know? Yeah. So I think that's
money.
I think that's
his
a
girls,
win for
his
him.
Girls. Well, here's the thing. Like, a lot of these chicks are like gold diggers. Like, they do want the money, right? So they know that a way to trap a guy for 18 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be for money.
And if you're a dude that has money, you should know that.
Yeah.
You should be very, very, very aware of that. Yeah. And if you're okay with that, which a lot of dudes are, a lot of dudes with money don't care. Like, oh, whatever. Cool. I got some kids, you know, the wife will take care of them or the baby mom will take care of them. You know, you got a lot of athletes that are like that and they go and they make tons of money and everything's fine. You know, musicians. But if you're wealthy and you know that, then, you know, you stepped in your own pile of shit. But it sounded like that audio, like he was really trying to get one over on her. Like, I don't know if she's like, she sounded like she's foreign, you know, like her English
Chinese,
wasn't great.
She genuinely doesn't yeah, even like, live here. She's yeah. Chinese.
You know, so she's an international girl. And it kind of sounded like he was like, yeah, he's like, you just go to the doctor and you know, he'll just take care of it. And like, it's almost like he's just trying to just push her in that direction. And I'm not faulting anybody for being scared or like not wanting it or wanting to at least discuss it. That's fair. You want to talk to the soon to be baby mom, talk it out, see where you guys both fall. You both can express yourself at the end of the day, there is some sort of discussion that can be had. But it's like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, you just go to the doctor and he'll just take care of it. And she's like, no. And he's like, yeah, 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 it's fine. Like, just go to the doctor. And you know, she's like, I don't want to kill the baby. He's like, you're not. And he's like, you're not. But you had so much to say on abortion all these other times about how it's so wrong. And now what? Because it's 3 weeks or 4 weeks that the same standard doesn't apply.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, well, you're not killing it. Well, then what are you doing to it? You know, you've got these strong opinions on it.
I just think that these men that are preaching for women to take accountability and responsibility should be held to the same standard. And if you made a kid, you made a kid. It's really not big of a deal. Like, you knew what you were doing and that's that. And that's what you need to do. Let me just move forward with this. Don Juan, looking forward to see Joe Biden excommunicated. Prager's coward ran away from me in real life. Dennis Prager.
Prager, yeah.
Dennis Prager. That's because Americans feel guilty because it's past. I don't know what. Because of America's past. Yeah, they are. White people feel guilty about slavery. They feel guilty about the Holocaust. They feel guilty about everything. It's like white guilt, white guilt, white guilt.
Mm-hmm.
It's really unfortunate, especially for us brown people. Very, very unfortunate for us brown people.
Huh? So don't feel guilty about anything. That's
it's
biggest scam ever. You know, most white people in this country didn't even have relatives who were here at that time. And because of the color of your skin, you're supposed to feel guilty for anything. Mm-hmm. No, shouldn't be that way. If you're white, black, anything like that, white people need to drop that shit like immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. And white people built a great civilization. And I think a lot of they don't want to admit it, right? Because it sounds like we're saying everybody has played a role. Every race has played a part in history, right?
Sure.
Like, look at the Jews. They go back to like the Old Testament. Like, they've been exiled. Like, everybody knows these stories. But it was really, you know, these Europeans that wanted to conquer the New World.
Mm-hmm. Right? And that's they sure why, did.
And then they did. And things worked kind of well. For a while, and now they're not. So something to consider. Okay, so I wanted to ask you. Bella didn't send me this video again because everything, she just couldn't come last minute. Okay, so there's a situation going around. Have you seen me troll the Password Bros? Also,
yeah. Yeah, the ones that are going and sleeping with like 13-year-old like South American chicks and so, saying that they're looking for wives.
I've had a problem. I've had a problem with this since they started talking about it, since they started to say.
Anytime they start labeling something, it just turns to shit right away.
Yeah.
Like guys have been doing this forever.
Right. You
know, like guys have like been military men are the original passport bros.
Yes. Yes.
Like literally. Yes, and. Yes. And yes. But there was nothing wrong with it then. It was legitimate. And then, you know, and you got the red pill. Anytime that you start labeling these things. But anyway, passport bros, go ahead. I'm not going to go off on a tangent.
I'm just so pissed about this.
Fuck.
Yeah. Okay. So passport bros. Obviously, and I think it's like a social media thing. Like everything else.
It absolutely has been ruined.
Just like women have ruined themselves with like beauty standards. I also think it's a social media thing because now they want to openly share how much they despise their race or feminists or modern day women or Western women. So they have to go to these countries to look for love, to look for, you know, they don't think it's so crazy because they say that Western women are very like materialistic and they're always trying to extract resources from men, which I can see, we can get into that conversation and say, it's yes,
human
somehow.
Nature though. That's
right. But they're thinking that women in another country, they're basically brainwashing themselves to think that women in another country are not like that. When the reality is that those women see you as a meal ticket and as a green card to come here.
Couldn't be further from it.
So it is what it is, you know, from one thing or another, whether it's shelter and food or like a green card, it doesn't matter where it is. Women could use you for that, right? Yes or no? It doesn't matter. Yeah, it could be anywhere in the world.
I mean, that's men are supposed to provide for women and it doesn't always mean like you're bringing home like the kill at the end of the day, like in the modern world that's very different, you know, like women are looking for safety and security and reliability, so that might come in the form of a passport. Because you're typically in those cases taking women from poor countries into a much better life,
right?
But no different than meeting a woman here. You know, if you expect to have children and you knock a woman up and you want her to stay home with your children, you're going to provide. She's going to extract resources from you. That's what women it's not a bad thing. It can be like a bad thing in the form of like gold digging or whatever.
Right. Or like trying to actually take like whenever people talk about prenups and I'm sorry to interrupt, I always think of like, what would I want for my kid? So like, let's say that like I end up making a lot of money in life and I end up having a child and it's a boy and then my things are going to pass down to him that this is like generational wealth. I want him to sign a prenup.
Sure.
Like I'm not fucking going to let
getting divorced.
I don't care. Right. Whatever you guys make with your wife or if you want to have an arrangement that's like, okay, we get divorced the first 5 years. I'm going to give you X amount of money while you get off your feet because you stayed home with the kid, right?
Sure.
You were helping in a business or whatever. I don't have a problem with that. But in general, as you said, women are going to look for something. So let me backtrack to this passport bro. So this is what's going on right now. So the passport bros have basically chosen a few destinations around the world to
the hometown.
To just be degenerates. And one of them has been Medellin, Colombia, which they have totally ruined. Medellin, Colombia is a beautiful city. It's actually very modern. It's clean. It's green. The weather's perfect, 74, 76 degrees all year long. Gorgeous mountains, beautiful women, beautiful people, nice restaurants. It genuinely has, to me, and right now, it's probably one of the world's biggest destinations. You see that when you go, there's so many foreigners. And these motherfuckers have figured it out as a way to go there and not just sleep with women, but sleep with children. And this is a problem. This is a problem because what's happening is that they have rebranded this movement, which as if you guys heard my podcast, I've complained about it. They've rebranded this movement as just, we hate Western women. They're all masculine. They're all fat. They're all ugly. They are promiscuous. Instead, we're going to go to Colombia or whatever it is and find this traditional virgin, non-ran through, pretty skinny girlfriend,
submissive,
wife, submissive, blah, 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 blah. So last week there was a case in Medellin, which the mayor has been saying a new mayor comes in. He's a right-wing mayor. He was elected, I think, like last November or something, or yeah, around the fall. And one of the things that he said was, we want tourism, but we want the right tourism. We don't want sex tourism here at all. And of course, we don't want child sex tourism even less because it's illegal. They find out that this North American man, Timothy something, I want to say his name so that we actually like show you what he looks like. And he was caught with two children, 12-year-old and a 13-year-old. Apparently the 12-year-old was a trans boy, which means it's a little girl dressed up as a boy. Both kids were actually...
Timothy Allen Livingston.
Timothy Allen Livingston.
I'm going to send it to you.
Yeah. And apparently the way that he was caught is that he brought the kids back to his Airbnb. And at the Airbnb, the security guard saw him and like asked for passports and ID for the kids. The kids had a fake ID that said they were over the age of 18. The security guard still didn't believe the guy. Point of the story is that I think some neighbors ended up calling the police on the guy because they were like, those are children. Like, no matter how much you try to dress them up or in whatever, police come, they find 5 used condoms and narcotics. But somehow this guy was able to escape.
Yeah, and nobody knows article. How. That's the article
nobody
I sent
Nobody knows
you.
How. Nobody knows where he is.
They're looking to get him extradited.
Yeah. So that is actually the situation that's happening there. So when they try to excuse this movement, not to say that feminists are bad or, you know, things we don't have issues here, but when they try to just say that it's a movement, a lot of these men are just going there to engage in genuinely, like literally, like child sex trafficking.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You saw Sound of Freedom? Did you see it?
No, never saw it.
It takes place in Colombia, and it was a real life story of I forgot the name of the guy in the movie.
Well, it's like that's always been, I mean, for as long as I can, I remember, even like as a young kid, like it was always like, you know, like go to Mexico and like meet some beautiful like Latina woman. And then like that started to like evolve like into like a hobby for these guys. And that's like, that's when it starts to get, you know, if you want to go travel the world and meet beautiful women, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know, you want to, there's nothing wrong with that. But when that becomes the objective, you start to attract weirdos. It's no longer a casual thing. It's, you start to attract these weirdos and look how slippery the slope is. You know, it goes from, hey, let's go, you know, let's go to Colombia to have some fun and party with some beautiful women who think we're great because we're Americans, yeah. Right? That's the innocent version of it. Yeah. And it's like that nobody's blaming anybody for that.
Yeah.
And then it's, well, we can't get any girls here. Because I'm going to go pay for it. Right. Yeah. So I don't want to pay for it here too, because it's more expensive. So, you know, I failed as a man in the United States. I can't go out and have fun and attract beautiful women, you know? So I'm going to go and I'm going to be a predator now. I'm going to go on vacation with the intent of that. Very, very quickly. Once you open that door and that becomes accepted as like sex tourism, like you're going on vacation to have sex with women that you're very likely going to pay for in some capacity or another. Once you open that door, it's no surprise that you wind up with Timothy the pedophile. You know, it's.
I don't want to laugh, but
it's,
like,
but Timothy it's true.
The pedophile
it's,
just kind of
once
like
you
goes
start
together.
Allowing. Oh, it's just, it just the slope together. Is slippery. Like, you know, it's like he's like, oh wow, so you can go sleep with women. You know,
what
like
teens?
Oh wow, children? You know, and this guy probably went on a couple of vacations too. You know, this probably isn't his first rodeo where he found the 12 and the 13-year-old. He probably went and he probably had one or two or three goes at it, and he realizes, hey, I can get away with a lot here. You know what I mean? So, like, people don't know me. There's not a lot of cameras around. You know, I'm in another country, so
I can pay people off.
Yeah, I can pay people off. Whatever it is, he starts learning the ropes, and you open that door to that unthrottled degeneracy where it's not only not regulated, and accepted, but it's like encouraged.
Yeah.
And then you wind up with these people and it's like, no, it's no surprise, you know? And I love what the mayor is doing, where he's taking a hard stance on it, because that's the only way that people will learn.
Yeah.
Is you've got to make it very clear that, you know, FAFO, come down to Columbia and, you know, we got something for you.
So there was also a case, and this is something that I don't know why, like a lot of people picked it up, especially on TikTok. I remember seeing it. But basically, there was an American man accused of murdering his Colombian DJ girlfriend. This is a headline. And stuffing her body in a suitcase weeks after the first time, claiming he has all the evidence that would clear him. Oh, wow. I didn't know he had spoken. Oh, this is January. This is crazy. I didn't know this was an update. So, okay. So basically, this guy, this came out later that he was divorced. He owed a bunch of child support. He had like taken all the savings of the family, the wife. I think they had three kids together or something. But the point is that he gets a Colombian girlfriend. I think it's even his Twitter still up. He gets a Colombian girlfriend and then he moves there. He gets an apartment for them. He ends up killing the chick. Supposedly it was because he found that she was talking to other men. I don't know if that was ever confirmed. Nevertheless, you just don't kill people for talking to other men or women. Yeah, like, period. Not, like, yes. You don't kill a woman. You don't kill a man. Like, you know what I mean?
If that's his reason, that's not.
She was 23 years old. He drank and took drugs the day before. Her body was found in a suitcase. He has all the evidence that would clear him for killing Valentina Palacios, a father of three. Yeah, he was a father of three. Met Palacios on Tinder in 2020. Took her on vacation in Cancun. Da, 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 da. This is the guy.
Oh, I saw this. Him. Yeah, I remember this
guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the chick.
Okay. So is this like an unhinged crime
that's
of passion?
Look, that's him putting the chick in the, you see, her body in the car.
From a shopping cart
inside of the apartment. Pretty crazy stuff. So my point is that there has always been a culture. Okay, so before 2020, I had a travel agency called Connect Colombia. I've had it since 2016. And the number one destination that we got customers for was Cartagena, and was a lot of bachelor parties, mm-hmm. which we absolutely hated the bachelor parties because men are crazy, messy. They would ruin the house. And the thing is, we only rented private properties over there that are worth millions of dollars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And these properties that are worth millions of dollars were also built in like the 1600s. So they have a lot of history. Like the people that own these homes are wealthy.
They're beautiful. Yeah, I mean, these are like villas. Yeah.
Yeah, these are like insane. And they would just like destroy it and like whatever. Like we hated it. But, you know, it was like a group of friends that went there to spend money, have a good time, and they would meet chicks. Normal, right? So this culture of meeting chicks in these countries is the men go to Panama. That's another city another country that they go to, whatever. Red light district in Amsterdam, like whatever it may be. But there is a lot of weirdos, like probably this guy.
Yeah.
Was divorced and we don't know what happened. Or like that are going there. And a lot of times what the mayor said was that they're going there to satisfy like this crazy deep sexual fantasies. Sometimes even lead into criminal acts like this. This is by the mayor, by the way. He didn't need, like, because they've noticed the pattern. And on top of the fact that they've also put themselves in danger, because now you have gangs or like, you know, bad women affiliated with gangs or whatever.
Are
robbing these men and they're hilarious. Killing the men. Well, and robbing them as well. So
it attracts a type of man who has been hurt a lot, right? Like when it goes from the innocent, yo, me and my boys, you know, went to Cancun and we had a blast and we met this great group of girls, blah, blah, blah. You know, we hung with them and cool. When it starts becoming this thing, it attracts men who have had their hearts like broken, like men who have been like utter failures in some capacity, whether that's objective or subjective, whether they see, you know, most of it is subjective. They're seeing themselves as utter failures. They've been rejected countless times by women. They don't know how to talk to women. They're afraid of rejection. They're, you know, they had their hearts broken, they're divorced, they're angry, they're bitter, all of these things. And then, yeah, you combine that with this, like, oh, I can kind of do whatever I want. And for men, you know, men function off of like power, right? So all men, regardless of what they say or what they'll admit, they all men desire to be powerful, influential, to get what they want when they want it. That's just something that's inherent. And when a man isn't able to get that in like the natural sense where he's like competitive and he wins, men start to get resentful. And that resentment is like poison, and it'll turn otherwise normal men into monsters.
Yeah.
And especially when it has to deal with women.
A lot of them, like, they just don't get laid and they're bitter and miserable. There was a study that I retweeted the other day that literally said, like, involuntarily celibacy on men turns him into misogynist and like angry and like
very much. It's the ultimate form of rejection and failure. You know, like there's nothing more, especially when it compounds through the years and like as time goes on and that sort of involuntary celibatism it gets worse and worse and worse, and it'll drive these weak men crazy to where you give them all of that bitterness and anger inside of them, and then you let them run loose, and you almost get this drunk on power effect where I can go now. I've never been able to do what I want. I've never been able to tell a woman what to do. I've never been able to have a woman desire me, all these things. Now I can go down with $1,000 and I can get my way.
Yeah.
And if you've never experienced power, right? Like the way that you get accustomed to being powerful is like little by little, you stack your wins, right? You stack your wins through your life and you become more powerful, right? Same thing financially. You get accustomed to money by stacking it. You see people when they win a whole bunch of money, they lose it all. If men, weak men who have never obtained anything in their lives, are all of a sudden the floodgates just opened, they're just going to be completely corrupted by it.
Yeah.
Whether they go into it with that idea, like consciously or not.
So I just, you know, Spring Hill said this comment, bachelorette parties are even worse, in my opinion. They're not. Bachelorette parties are not worse. I rather have girl parties because girls are cleaner and they don't throw the crazier parties that men throw. Just think of fraternity parties versus a sorority party. Now, I don't know if you're talking about women sleeping, if this is talking about promiscuous, I don't know, because I wasn't there watching them have sex for either party, the men or the women. Sorry, that's just what it is. But in terms of like, who would I rather give my property to? It was always women. In fact, by 2018, most of our homeowners didn't want any more bachelor parties. They didn't. Most houses, there was a crackdown on both prostitution and for underage kids again in Cartagena, and they did not want more male parties at all for that reason and for damages, because it would cause a lot of damages with the rowdy parties in these very expensive houses. So no, it's not. I mean, I don't know about having sex. I can't speak for the women. This comment right here, I just want to say this, like you're saying, maybe the US government should stop treating them as terrorist threats. This is more of a self-development situation. Like you can't blame the government for these young adults or these men who haven't taken care of their hygiene, don't want to work out, don't want to succeed, don't want to work. Like, you know, then what are you going to say about the rest? There's always going to be weaker people in a population. And in the animal kingdom, there's always going to be weaker people. Like some people may be born more athletic. Some of the ones may be taller. Some of them was agile, shorter, this. But you can't blame the U.S. government for labeling them as terrorists and then just make that as an excuse for them not to have social skills or be able to date or be able to have sex.
I don't think the U.S. government is labeling these guys as terrorists. I think these are the guys that are sitting at home playing, you know, 14 hours of video games every day. Like I don't think that these are the guys that the United States government is labeling as a terrorist threat. I don't know if I'm misreading that comment, but I don't think that that's the case at all.
No,
I think these men are just very frustrated. and that they need help and they need brotherhood and they need good male role models and they need a lot, but I don't think the US government has anything to do with it, them as terrorists.
No, I don't think so either. So Ian, we're almost at the end of the show. It's like we've gone for an hour and 14 minutes. So what are some of the things that you're currently working on right now? Like from a brand, like an Ian Smith brand, like business perspective, and then, you know, any politics that are things that you're doing?
Well, so recently I moved to Florida. Ooh. Long overdue. After I ran for Congress in New Jersey, I sold the gym to my former business partner. So the gym is still alive and well. There's still some issues as far as that whole COVID nonsense. It's just funny how quickly, you know, when the government moves against you, they used to have us in court the same day, but you know, we still have municipal charges and stuff like that are unresolved, you know, because the jig is up with COVID and nobody really wants to answer for all of the stuff. So there's still some stuff going on with that. But after I moved, I got into a couple other business ventures. Summit Rejuvenation is my main business. We do telehealth and telemedicine in all 50 states. And we do men and women's hormones, blood work, peptides, all sorts of stuff like that. It's a great company. Something that's very relevant today, especially with a lot of men, but even just as much with women, hormonal issues because of environmental poisons, all sorts of stuff. Not even necessarily going on TRT, but just getting your blood work done and learning about some of the things that you can do to feel better overall, which is a fantastic business. And we started, that's a clinic that's been around for a couple of years, and I came aboard year and a half ago, and it's been fantastic. That and my other company is Recovery CBD. We have a 100% THC free CBD line of CBD products that's sort of designed more towards athletics and performance, but is really for every person. But we do a lot of work with athletes and stuff. I wrote a book. Took me a while, but I wrote a book. The book is a little bit of a memoir. It doesn't just talk about the COVID story, because that's kind of where everybody knows me. And it's really easy to tell a story when like you're the hero, you know, but like, I feel like that's kind of like a cheap cop out and just be like, here's this 200 page book on what a great person I am. you know, and I've spoken all over the country as a result of what we did with the gym. And one of the things that I considered when I was writing the book was that, you know, people always used to say, man, I wish I could do what you did. And that always used to like irritate me.
Oh my God, we've literally spoken about this here on the show.
You know, and it's
they say that. It's so
they say that because but it's a self-limiting belief too. Because if you would have asked me in 2019, if I would have thought that I could do the things that I did, I would have said, no, I'm just one person. And that's a really dangerous lie that we tell ourselves, is that somehow that the choices that we make don't matter, because I was just some obscure gym owner in 2020 who decided that he wasn't going to close his business. And look what happened as a result of it. So
I want to just touch on, I'm sorry, but like, I hate the fact that there's so many people on the internet, particularly conservatives, who pretend like we're going to have some sort of either civil war or, you know, the end of the civilization. Like, you know, we saw in COVID that most people folded. We saw in COVID that most people didn't fight the legal way or nothing else. And, you know, the reality is that we only saw a few people, like you being one of them, who stood up to the tyranny of their state or the federal government. Sure, there was people like the Daily Wire sued, you know, for the COVID vaccine stuff, whatnot. We saw Fox complied. They had to even get people vaccinated. Mm-hmm. We saw really that people caved very easily, and it was scary.
Very much so.
Because it wasn't just the government. What it was is that you expected everybody to stand up together and say, fuck you, no. And it was like, oh, wait a second. Like, it's only like... But so three of us,
yo!
And everyone's like, we're closing down. It was so eye opening. So I absolutely hate it when they're just like, especially, you know, with the gender discourse. I have to go back to that, because you posted about it. All these men who are always shitting on women. And again, you know, we can have criticisms of both genders, you know, across or we can, you know, you could say more about women, whatever it is. But the reality is that when it comes down to Mike Cernovich said it, he said, you guys that want women out of politics or just want to repeal the 19th Amendment or have this kind of like, you know, thing. He goes, most women are the poll watchers. Most women are the ones that are doing activism. He like named all these things mm-hmm. that Bella and I always talk about. Even the voter turnout, more women turn out to vote. So men aren't even as dedicated. You know what I mean? So it's like you have all these things to say, but like even during COVID, you didn't really show off. Like you guys didn't really show off a lot. No. When tyranny was here, you weren't really showing off. So it's not like COVID was a real eye opener for me, at least on like where we stand as a country and yeah, how much we're able to take.
You know, that's a whole nother thing that we could talk about. But the thing that I really just wanted people to understand is like, I think that the reason a lot of people, yeah, there's a lot of people who are just punks and who are scared and who, you know, don't want to get a little slap on the wrist. But I think a lot of people think that what they do doesn't matter, right? Like it's like, oh, I'll just, you know, going back to the COVID thing, oh, I'll just put the mask on, you know, because what does it matter if I go and get my groceries with the mask on? And it's like, no, that did matter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like what would it have mattered if I just opened my back door and complied with the shutdown and let people come in the, you know, in the back and pay me a couple bucks and try to weather the storm.
But that's kind of like I said about TikTok when they're like, oh, it's just an app. Like, yeah, I know it's just an app. Like I haven't opened up TikTok all day today. I'm not like addicted to it. Genuinely today, I haven't looked at TikTok at all. Like there's days that I don't use it that much as like Instagram or X, but I'm like, you guys saying it's just an app. It's kind of the same thing that it's just a mask. Like it really didn't take us anything to put on a mask and travel, to put on a mask and go inside of the grocery store, to put on a mask to visit a family member. It really doesn't take much to just not have TikTok. But it's the principle of it. Mm-hmm. Like it's the government telling you what to put in your face. Because everyone is equally sick. The same thing with like what the government tells me. Fuck it. I may want to give my data to China. Did you fucking ask me about it?
Well, what was the article you sent me the other day at the AT&T security leak?
The AT&T security leak. And wait, we just found out that there's a lawsuit there's a lawsuit against Meta, so Instagram and Facebook, for giving their private info to Netflix.
Yeah.
For millions and millions of dollars. So you never asked me maybe I want to give China my data so I get better ads. And that's okay. I should be able to do that. I want to be targeted by ads that are way more accurate. That they know exactly what I want to buy. But with that being said, we where can they find you?
Social media. I don't have a website. I'm not fancy. I don't do any of that stuff. Ian Smith Fitness on Twitter and Instagram.
I mean, I got to read the super chats, but go ahead.
I think I'm on TikTok. I'm not Ian Smith Fitness on TikTok that's trying just to Ian sell Smith, you crypto. Right? Yes, just Ian Smith Fitness. It's the same username everywhere. Drop me a message. I'm always happy to chat.
Nice. All right, let me read the super chats. KS says, when a man to call himself high value is a really empty vessel making the most sound, but an individual sexually active, use a condom. My thing with the word high value, first of all, that giving value to humans, regardless of age, gender, blah, 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 it's kind of like it just shouldn't be normalized, period, right? We can joke around a lot and say things, but like every human being has his value. Yeah, you may not like a chick after 30 years old or whatever age it is that you want because you find her less valuable. But in the eyes of God, we're all equal, right? Until we die. You could be an 80 ugly year old lady, like God still like approves of you. Or else commit suicide after like what, fucking 30, I guess? I don't know, whatever it may be. So when they say, for example, this guy Walter from Fresh and Fit, he calls himself a high value man. Today we find out that he can't take responsibility on a chick that he got pregnant. Very beautiful girl, looks like a sweet girl. And also he told her that essentially in the text messages that were leaked was that he was also sleeping without a condom, without protection, with four other women. Is that really a high value man? You know what I mean? Like, is that like sleeping around unprotected with four different women, knowingly well that you could impregnate any of those four women, and now you don't want to take responsibility, and you want to just get rid of the body, right? Literally, is that really a high value man because you have money? So are we to say that every fucking person, then for that reason, George Soros is a great guy.
High value man. Super high value. Yeah.
Bill Clinton. High value man. Joe Biden. High value man. We're just going to say that having money and power and fame is what. No, seriously. That's what they're making it at, right? We're not looking at qualities. We're not looking at anything. We're looking at how much money you have, power, and assets that we could say any fucking Bill Gates is a high value man.
High value man.
Yes or no?
High value man.
So, Red you know, this is exactly. So this is just something to consider. Emery Roy. Hi, Emery. I love you. You're the best. Have y'all seen a TikTok where Fastbro Bro is getting robbed and scammed by these women in these countries? The one I saw the other day was in Colombia. Yeah, it's hilarious. I'm sorry. I have to laugh. I have to laugh. I also have to laugh about the fact that so a lot of these, especially the Black Passport Bros, they like to go to Brazil. They like to go to DR. They also like to go to Colombia. But what I find funny is that they're very racist towards the Black Americans here. They'll say, you know, these Black American women are super fat. We get it. Yes, it's like, you know, obviously not to generalize, but there is statistics. A lot of obesity within, you know, minority communities. And they're fat or this or that. They have fake hair. They got this. They're doing BBLs. And there's some criticisms that I think are very true. The fake eyelashes trend is pretty, you know, absurd. But they go to these countries, especially Brazil. Like, the BBL stands for Brazilian butt lift. You understand why that is? Because it was in Brazil where they invented the BBL, literally. So you're going to the land of asses on top of fake asses, right? Like, these bitches have asses, but they also get more ass. And you then claim that you don't like your type of women here because they also have said, you know, fake asses or whatever it is. So it's like, nothing just makes sense. Like, everything that they say.
I mean, most South American countries are like, you know, Colombia also is, it's like, you know, these people are on the frontier
of plastic surgery.
Literally. Yeah. I mean, like, they are cutting edge.
Right.
They are very good at what they do. Yeah. You know, if you're going down to Colombia and you're meeting a beautiful woman and you think that she's just naturally that beautiful, there's a high likelihood you're absolutely wrong. You know,
100%.
They're just way better at it. They've been doing it and it's cheaper.
There was a Passport Bro this week, a Black Passport Bro. I think TJ, you know who I'm talking about, a 24-year-old. And he's so obnoxious because he's 24. So imagine, like, retarded, almost like the. And he's going around and he's like putting his phone on, like, almost like the chick's faces, like this, like if they were like a zoo animal, like, you know. So he's going around to like Peru and Brazil and like all these places, and then he's like, you know, starts filming this girl and he's like, girls like this get the ring, you know. It's just like a nice girl that's a server that's serving you, like, here's your water and your Diet Coke. And like, the and even the men were like trolling him because they were like, my boy, if you just wanted a waitress to be nice to you, you could have just gone to Hooters. Like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck are we doing here? And then he goes to Colombia and then he starts filming these chicks in the street in Cartagena, which is a predominantly Black city. Important in this message, because the Black American about to start crying racism in a Black Colombian city. You understand why? Because he almost got jumped because he starts filming these chicks, and then men came and they like got in his face, like, what the fuck are you filming? Why are you filming without permission? Like, it got like really tense for a second. But, you know, and then he was crying, like saying Afro-Latinas don't want to date Black Americans because they're racist and they want to outbreed the Black.
Oh, but he doesn't want to date Black American women. I love it.
And the thing is, I saw messages from women later, and the women were saying, like, first of all, the women are Black, right? So they're Afro-Latinas.
Yeah.
Or like dark in skin. And my thing is, like, they'll just date other Afro-Latinos. Like, they don't have to date you, a Black American. They'll just date those men who speak their language, know their culture. And then in text messages, they would say, you know, not for nothing, but a lot of these men are very arrogant. They have an ego. And the women simply don't vibe with that. Like, they have a much more... Colombians are very happy people. They're very humble people. Obviously, I'm generalizing, but if there's something that Colombian stands out, like when people go to Medellin, when people go to these cities, you always hear gringos, like white people say, they're the nicest people in the world. Like, I cannot explain to you how nice these people were, how hospitable, how they treated us. They're so respectful. So when you come from America, a lot of Americans are not like that. They don't have that, and they clash with the culture. Mm-mm. So the women are like, no, you don't have that humbleness, like that charisma. Let me see this other super chat. I think the issue is 2004 Red Bull used to be 10% real talk about feminism, and US women 90% fix your physique, hair, clothing, career, risk. Get 10% girlfriend, wife. 2024 repos. Fuck improving yourself. Just bend course. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's when the internet takes over and everybody's an expert and everybody has a podcast and everybody has a microphone and they just, you know, it's just whoever screams the loudest and it you're always going to get the lowest common denominator. Most of these things started as at least halfway decent ideas.
I disagree with this. I think there's a lot of racism in Latin America. But it's not acted upon. Like, it's just a tougher culture. Even machismo, which you could translate to, like, misogyny. But it's, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's
bravado.
Yeah. And, like, the thing about it is that I grew up in a really, like my city has a lot of Black people. And it's really close to Buenaventura, which is one of the Blackest cities in Colombia overall. It's, like, 90% Black. Black. You know, it's in the Pacific, so it was in the coast, so there was slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
So those, you know, that they've been there since literally slavery.
Yeah.
It's very Black, and there, I've never saw the tension like the way that Black Americans are here. It's completely different than these Afro Latinos, and I think it's because in America they removed the Black culture, any culture that they had before. Like, I was looking at old videos on Twitter of, like, Black America, like, years ago.
1950s.
Right. And everybody was, like, dressed really well. And everybody was, like, healthy and in shape. And they were dancing whatever music was hot at the time. In Colombia, until this day, African culture, Black culture is very embedded in our culture. So salsa came from the slaves in Cuba. That's where salsa originated. The African slaves started, you know, whatever. They come up with this beat and it goes to Colombia. To Cali, from where I'm from, and that becomes the capital of salsa. So, you know, our food, our dances, a lot of the stuff is like mixed with African and Blacks. And to this day, they never had hip hop. They didn't have like the culture that Americans have. So our Blacks are like night and day.
Yeah, 100%.
Completely different. Completely different. So I don't think they're treated any different. Let me see. Every Latin American country besides Colombia has primarily likes white Latinos. Yeah, of course, because most white Latinos are the majority. And they are also the majority that prospered before because Blacks were slaves. Blacks were impoverished. There's still a lot of Black poverty. Majority of cities in here, actually here as well. Go to St. Louis. Whenever I go to Andy to visit First Form and you go through the horrible streets of St. Louis, it looks like fucking Baghdad. Are you kidding me? It looks like you're in the Middle East. Like the cab drivers will tell you, the Uber drivers, that you can't stop through those streets. You have to like drive through. Cops do not want to go to certain areas in St. Louis, Missouri,
just like Philadelphia.
Or Baltimore or Philadelphia. They don't want to go into those Black cities. So yes, imagine if we have so much Black poverty here in America. Imagine in a developing country like Colombia. Like, that's what you have to think. It's not that they're treated bad. It's not that. It's that they're even less advanced than this country is. I'm telling you, go visit these Black cities in Philly and in St. Louis and everywhere else. You'll be shocked. Like, when I was in St. Louis, I remember I went to the First Form headquarters. There was this huge influencer there. I don't remember his name. He does all these jokes with his wife. And I think he signed as an athlete or something with First Form. Anyways, I met him at the gym. And he was like, he was saying how he was like scared to leave his hotel in St. Louis.
Yeah. I mean,
he's like, I'm not going to leave after a certain time.
No, you yeah. In St. Louis, you shouldn't. Absolutely mm-hmm. not. I mean, it's a rough city. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, this whole you know, I'm reading this comment, the anti-Black, you know, like there's anti-Blackness within the Black culture. So like you can't.
When they make it, they're like, they abandon the community.
You can't, I mean, you can't say like, oh, Latinos are doing that or, oh, I mean, like that's, and why that is, I don't know, but I don't think that's a strictly Latino thing. I mean, like that's, and I don't think it has to do anything with certain degrees of Blackness as it does, maybe financial issues or, you know, like.
Just, yeah. Economic opportunity. Like Blacks are, it is true. Blacks are more poor in Latin America. That's a fact, you know? That is 100% a fact. But overall, Latin America is also very poor. right? Indigenous people are disproportionately poor. And so are like most people in Latin American countries, right? But also when we look at Cuba, in Cuba, when Fidel started the revolution, the minorities, which were the blacks, really, were the ones that were supporting, because minorities always support communism. Well, they were the ones that were supporting communism. And look at Cuba now. All of the white Cubans were able to come to Miami. That's why you have so many white Cubans in Miami. They're all here. What was left in Cuba was just the very poor, the ones that agreed with communism, and a lot of blacks. And they're doing worse than ever. Like they're doing fucking terrible. They're eating out of trash cans. Like
Cuba
literally.
I went when Trump lifted the ban.
Yeah.
And it is a beautiful country, but it is unimaginably poor.
It's horrible. I thought it was horrific.
Most of the streets in Havana aren't even paved.
Buildings are falling. Apart.
It looks like a war zone. Holes in the streets that kids are playing in. They're eating out of like newspaper, like spaghetti out of newspaper, which is like noodles and ketchup.
This guy's like they imported. No, they didn't import. White people, white men, white Europeans. Well, Spanish depends on who you ask. They'll say that the Spanish are not European. The Spanish conquered Latin America and mixed with blacks and
natives
to create. And they created what is our race.
Yeah.
So of course, I'm sure you're just a black supremacist that is so concerned with all this stuff. I mean, maybe just breed with your own, right? I've been saying about this. Have you seen my rants about eugenics?
If you're unhappy with it, just
start breeding with blacks. I mean, genuinely, like if you are so concerned about black genes, you could genuinely just breed with black genes. Whites can breed with blacks, and Latins can breed with Latins. Yeah. What do you think about that? Jews do it. Jews
only want to marry each other. Stay to yourself.
Hindus only want to marry each other. But if you want us to cry about black people on this show and feel bad for whatever reason, or the Jews, or everyone's just so fucking racist, you got the wrong two people. I genuinely have no fucking emotion and don't care. And yeah, some people do want to better their race and genetics. And you know what? There's nothing you can do about it, because actually us women get to choose whatever genetics we want to have. You know, we are the real eugenicists. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, eugenicists.
It's us women. So you can blame women again. We're evil. We will not breed with you if we don't feel like we don't have to. And it's that simple. I mean, you can call the breeding police. Well, who do you call for this? Refer this to...
Department of DEI.
The Department of DEI. Yeah. We don't have to breed with you if we don't want to. And we actually can. I'll breed you. We can if we wanted to, because women choose.
Yeah.
So with that being said, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. I'm sure Bella.
Feel better, Bella.
Will feel better next week. And thank you, Ian, for being here. I know
my pleasure.
You know,
thanks for having me on. Late night.
But we will see you next week. Thank you so much. And I'm going to put this tomorrow on Spotify. And if you didn't listen to it, so have a great night. Bye.
Night.